The Coast 89.7 is proud to present the latest edition of our radio documentary series produced with the financial support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program. Curating Cape Breton's Multicultural Mosaic, a dedication to diversity past and present, is a Coast 89.7 original production. And now, The Story of Home with your host, Donnie Antle.
Welcome to The Story of Home. I'm Donnie Antle. In this episode, we take a look at the students from around the globe who've come here to study and see how Cape Breton has become the classroom to the world. In recent years, there's been an influx of students from around the globe coming to Cape Breton to study at Cape Breton University. The number of those students grow every year. Victor Tomacek is the manager of International Enrollment Services at CBU.
Well, we're gearing up for our September intake, which is typically one of our largest intakes, though internationally we've been getting significant numbers for three intakes in May, January, and September. So currently we have just over 1,000. We'll probably be at, in total, about 2,800 again. For international, with a total enrollment somewhere around between 5,000 and 5,400 students for 2019 September.
The growth is by design. The university has been working with partners around the globe to attract students to CBU.
Well, I remember back when I was in my undergrad in the early 2000s, it's when we began our partnership with the International Center for English Academic Preparation, Nova Scotia, ICEAP, Nova Scotia. And so they, being a language partner, were a conduit to the Chinese market. And back then as well, there was the King Abdullah Scholarship for Saudi Arabian students. We still have a really great relationship with ICEAP Nova Scotia, who are located on our campus now. And as like Saudi Arabia cut all the King Abdullah scholarships, so those students mostly have gone back home. So we're probably been more active since about 2015, where we're really putting more of a push on to get a more diverse campus. So between 2015, we had about, just over 840 international students, up to 2,800 about now. So we had a percentage increase in those 5 years of about 230%.
Victor sees the influx of international students as vital to both CBU and Cape Breton as a whole.
Just to address the demographics of Cape Breton, we need students from other parts of Nova Scotia, other parts of Canada, and as well around the world to make us a viable university on the island. And it also really speaks to our future as an island, I think, as well. Because, not only, of course, I work for Cape Breton University, represent them, and I have a lot of pride in this position, but as a Cape Bretoner, I feel like this is our opportunity now to address our generational population decline since the closure of our industries, to again bring in young, educated, motivated people who want to become Canadians as well. So this is an opportunity for the entire island.
The university has gone far afield, trying to attract as many international students as it can.
So I have a team. On my team, I have a senior international recruiter, someone who is a liaison with our campus in Egypt, who also would recruit in that region, and a specialist in international partnerships who will also focus on the Chinese-Vietnamese markets there, because myself manage the international as well as recruit, and I have another person who also part-time recruits in other regions. So we would go into the countries. We would meet the students, meet their parents, visit schools. We also work with education agents. These are people where students would submit their application and help them with their study permit process. And then that agent will send students to us, and then they work for a commission.
Where do these students come from? According to Victor, they come from all over the world, from over 40 different countries.
Primarily when we first started getting more of an international population, it was, many Chinese students and Saudi Arabians. Of course, China is still a major cohort. And then since about 2016 till now, and this is not just Cape Breton University, but across Canada, the students from India increased dramatically, whereas nationally, Indian students, as of 2018, was the first time they outgrew the number of Chinese students studying in Canada, and we reflect that here as well. Now, because of the size of China and India, there's always going to be these two student populations amongst the highest numbers, because that's just demographically reality. But we've seen a lot of growth in Vietnam student population in recent years. We always have a number of Egyptians on campus, because we have a satellite campus in Cairo as well. We've seen a lot of growth in different African countries recently: Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana, Rwanda, Ethiopia, South Africa. We always have, some students. We work in Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan. We're now diversifying further afield. We're in Philippines and the subcontinent around India as well, Bangladesh, Nepal, Sri Lanka, and South America. So I think the key to having a healthy campus is a diverse campus.
Cape Breton University has a lot going for it to attract students from abroad, both on and off campus.
Students want to know, the programs, the place, the price, and their profession, right? So we have that all here in Cape Breton. We are 2 years running now, named the most beautiful island in North America by Travel and Leisure magazine. National Geographic calls us a must-see destination on the globe. A lot of students are coming from high-density populations, pollution, traffic. You can think of Cape Breton as an island, as highlight the things that we don't have. We don't have crime. We don't have pollution. We have clean air. We have a beautiful landscape. It's a way to get away from that hustle bustle of these large cities and come to a smaller city with a very welcoming culture. The people in Cape Breton have overwhelmingly been very inviting to our newcomers. And our school, being one of the smaller, relatively schools, we have relatively small class sizes compared to, big schools in like the MTV, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver areas, right? There's so many opportunities for research for students in, say, the science. In the building we're in, the Verschuren Centers has like private partnerships with scientific research, a lot of in environmental research, cancer research. So these undergrad students have the opportunity to do paid research at that level, where a lot of universities you must be in like a graduate program to do that. We have co-ops in almost all our programs, which is very attractive to international students, because they have the opportunity to make a connection in the community, in a business, and get work, paid work experience, while also getting course credit, which also speaks to their opportunities post-graduation, because they're making those network connections in the community. Our hospitality and tourism management program is, I think, world-class. students must complete 2 paid internships in order to graduate there, which can be in Cape Breton, whereas our service and tourism industry can't hire enough people currently. Or they can do an internship in other parts of Canada. Some have went to Banff, for example, to get their course credit. They make that connection. They get paid. So it's like all about those connections you can make. And as well, our tuition comparatively to these large universities is affordable, you know. And the immigration opportunities in Nova Scotia are the best in the country currently as well. And, you know, immigration is a primary concern of many international students as well.
AJ Balyan just graduated from CBU's public administration program. He came from a small town in northern India and says the decision to come to CBU was not only his to make.
I had like a couple of options to come in Canada and for study. Like I had some options in Vancouver, in Nova Scotia itself, and in Toronto. To be honest, my parents chose this option for me because it's a small town, like lots of opportunities to grow and the studies as well, like in the Cape Breton University. Like it's not like other provinces, as to be honest, like to be very hard, very strict or something like that. So over here, it's good to be here for me because we came from a small town. So if you directly go in a very big town, it's the same as putting an aquarium fish in directly into the sea. So my parents decided to put this fish in a small aquarium again to grow itself, to make me independent here first. Once I'm independent, then I can move to any of the province and handle myself. But if I directly go to Toronto, Vancouver, I was not able to handle myself, like what to do in this big city independently. Because in India, we, like, with 99% of students depend on their parents. Because whatever they say, we do that. It's a kind of thing in our culture as well, in tradition. So we can't skip that. So my parents decided for me to come in the Cape Breton for study.
Nia Arora tells a similar story. She came to CBU from Punjab province in India to study public health.
It was not first and the only university which I decided, you know. I had a list and my uncle, he suggested me this place. I don't know why, but it was an amazing decision I made in my life. And now I realize that, yes, this is the place I want to be. This is the school I want to be.
For Chris Rampersode, it wasn't just coming to Cape Breton that was a new experience. He came here from Guyana to study petroleum engineering and just began his academic career at CBU.
For me, Cape Breton experience is a new one for me. It's the first time being in a university, staying in the residence, experiencing the university, the college life. Yeah, but it's a good experience here at Cape Breton University. Very large, spacious environment. Everything, the labs I was using, they're all up to technological times. Everything is up to date, man. With Cape Breton University. They're the best to me in offering the education to people. Yeah, and they offer a right variety, man, because I've been taking a small tour around the school, seeing what's going on, meeting new people from different countries. Coming in the hall alone, man, for the first time, seeing all those flags. It was a surprise knowing all these people from all over being one place.
Nia arrived in Cape Breton in January of 2018. I asked her what her first impression of Cape Breton was when she arrived.
Well, my first impression when I landed here, I found the place very quiet and peace. I was expecting more crowd. Yeah, you know, as I pictured Toronto. So I was not expecting this so quiet and nice. But when I meet the people, they are really friendly, and they always wave when I walk through my home, and that makes my day sometimes, you know? You need a smile.
AJ, on the other hand, was a little disappointed in our quiet little island at first.
I was really upset when I first saw the Cape Breton. Yeah, to be honest, I was really upset At that time, it was like a very small town with no population here, with nothing to do here, and there's nothing to go. There's nothing like that as a student when we came in first. But after that, I saw so many things to do here, and I really enjoyed them.
AJ's family came with him to Cape Breton to drop him off in his new home.
My parents came here to drop me off. My uncle came here. We are from a joint family, as my father. So he came here to drop me off here till in the university. Like, he had some meetings here in the CBU. So that was the reason as well, and he dropped me off here.
Veronica Chan came to CBU from Hong Kong to study hospitality and tourism management. She's in her first year and recalls how lost she felt on her first day at the school. It was her introduction to the trademark Cape Breton hospitality.
I lived in residence. When I come to the main campus, I want to find a place to make the student card. Mm-hmm. And there is a guy so helpful and help me figure out the map, because I stand in front of the Cape Breton University map. and I feel so happy. Like, I'm not alone. Like, any people here are so graceful, peaceful, and helpful.
For many of these new students, this is the first time they've ever experienced winter.
It was really surprising for me. I never saw snow in my country, so really it was really surprising for me that people can live in this much snow as well. Yeah, seriously, and when I talked to the people around here, and they said, oh, we are fine this year, we don't get too much snow this year. And I was like, really? It's not too much snow. And then, yeah, it was good. It was fun. We bought a Jeep at that time. So it was really fun for us at that time.
Well, in my place, we do not have snow. In here, tons. You know, mountains of snow. But I like winters, and I enjoyed snow. I played in snow. I made the butterfly in snow. That was amazing experience for me. That was the first time for me, and I made pictures, videos around here, and that was fantastic.
AJ found it a bit difficult during his first semester to get used to his new surroundings, but he says he adapted in short order.
CBU was good. It was good. Like, we had a good experience there. When I first came in, we were only 5 students here in my class, Indian students, and the rest of 55 were Canadians and like other countries. It was really challenging for us at that time as well to start again from our native language to the other language, and to start like that here, everything. So it was really hard in the first semester, from September to January. After that, I was comfortable here to study. I was more comfortable here, like with the students, with the Canadians. Like, we are not used to them. So that was the thing. So it takes time to get friendly with them, to get interactions with them. So from January onwards, it was really good. It was like my studies was really good, and I scored a good marks in the exams as well. I had great relations with my professors. So they all like me, and I like them too, very much.
Introducing thousands of new faces into any community is bound to have an influence on that community. Here in Cape Breton, some analysts say that international students will dump an estimated $40 million into the local economy each year. But numbers don't tell the whole story. These students are heading out into the community every day, interacting with the locals and giving back in ways that are not reflected on any spreadsheet. Victor is justifiably proud of how his students have taken to life in Cape Breton.
You know, being in my position, you're always nervous of how this kind of growth will have an effect on the community. It's been overwhelmingly positive, not just for the economic impact they bring in, but I have some good friends that run the Meals on Wheels program out of New Dawn currently. and we have multiple international students that volunteer there on a regular basis. And so I talked to them, like, how is it working out? And they're like, they're just wonderful. They're so dependable. And it's such a great way for them to get tied to our community. I mean, that is what the outcomes I really want to see. It's great to see students getting part-time work. Obviously, you can see them everywhere, which is pretty wonderful. But just getting into those volunteer positions, playing in the intramural sports. I'll go to, say, Ishkaban Falls with my wife and my daughter, and we'll run into a group of students just out there exploring the island. I'm like, this is what you need to do. You can't, you know, you need to get out there and see the island for what it really is. And now we have the program with, CBU has multiple vans that are, like, driving students out to the smaller communities in Cape Breton where they are currently lacking for workers in the service industry based on tourism. So that's getting our students, they're not international, domestic, of course. So it's really getting the students around the island out of just, you know, the municipality, Sydney, Glace Bay area, and tying them into this community.
I first entered the dance club here, during my studies, because I'm really fond of, you know, outgoing dancing, adventure, and CBU gave me the platform for the dance group. And I also joined many, you know, volunteer work here for students to wash hands and how to take care of their lives. I also joined the hospital camp for the people to encourage them to take care of their hand washing. And this is how I'm growing.
While Neha's volunteer work is commendable, it was the dance club that caught my attention. You see, the club Neha mentioned is Torrified Bhangra, a group of Indian CBU students who came together to practice the traditional Punjab style of dance and share Bhangra with the world at large. They've performed at the places you'd expect, community events, multicultural festivals, and so on. But they've also flash mobbed in places on campus and off. Their YouTube channel has over 9,000 subscribers, and a video of their Christmas performance set to a Bhangra remix of Jingle Bells at the Spar Road Walmart has gone viral, attracting over 180,000 views.
That was me and my partner, we were discussing about something to do different, you know. People cannot understand the language of the songs we dance on, you know. And we wanted to do something English mix. But that time we have Christmas coming, you know. So we decided, why don't we take the Christmas carol song or something which they will enjoy. We were a little worried, maybe people will not like it, but they appreciate a lot, and you know how it was.
Thank you.
This isn't to say that life for the international student is all dance breaks and snow angels. Indeed, these students who give their all in their studies also face challenges off campus as well. AJ remembers how expensive he found it to live here.
When I first came in 2017, just for the living, it was not expensive, to be honest. I was paying for myself $120 for my rent, for me, and say $150 for groceries, $300 plus $100 for my like other expenses, $400 a month, and I was living really happy life. I was getting $670 from bank and $800 to $900 from my part-time job. So I was really happy. But after January 2018, my simple living goes up to $600 to $700, and I had to pay my tuition fees, $10,000 for 4 months. I had no money. Like, my family supports me. My family sent me some money to pay my tuition fees, but for the living, I want to work for my own. Then the summers came in, and they were really good for me. I was really lucky. I got 2 jobs. I got in the Burger King, I got in the Walmart. So I worked 90 hours a week just to support myself, to do work here, to pay my tuition fees. Like, as my brother is here, so he supports me very well as well.
One issue felt acutely at the beginning of every school year, a lack of affordable housing.
Here, like, I don't know where the 1,200 students are going to stay now. I have no idea. I got at least 50 to 60 messages on my messenger, and they're just asking for the housing, that's it. Because here, the prices are for the housing, for the single houses, they're like 500, 800. For a one-bedroom apartment. A student can't afford that without the job. They can't afford it because they just got $670 per month from their bank for their survival. Not more than that. If they, like, say, example, if they give $500 for their rent, will they going to spend just $150 for a month for their eat, to travel, for their phone? It's not possible.
As AJ points out, rents have been climbing in the past few years and show no sign of slowing down.
I looked online and I got the house in second day. Just in $950 for 3 bedrooms, yeah. $950 for 3 bedrooms, including everything. And then I don't want to enclose the name. And then I moved out to some other place and I paid same for the three bedrooms, $1,550. $1,550 for that same 3-bedroom house on the other place. And now I'm trying to move because I got my other friends and we want to move out. Now we are getting like $1,600 plus heat and light. So it is going to cost $2,500 a month for us. See, this is the difference in 2 years.
Do you have challenges on renting houses? And we're still facing that for new students. As you know, on the news and everywhere, whenever this new coming session open, this is the first news you see. And the next is I'm wondering about the languages. Sometimes students cannot understand. And it's good now CBU providing lessons for languages. And if you need help, CBU say you can come to us. And that's a good option for students to understand about the language. And also they have a writing center, which I like the most. And they're improving it. And they're making people to help in English and everything.
It isn't just the language issue Neha mentions that CBU has been working on addressing. They're also hard at work on the housing problem, too.
In September 2018, so like one of our first high growth seasons, we recognized that a lot of students were choosing to live off campus rather than on residence as well, which we always emphasize when we're in country and meeting students to spend at least one semester living on campus. It gives them such a better opportunity for success, to meet new students from all over the world, to get to know the campus, to walk to school, and it is also comparatively affordable when living to living off campus. But students want to have their own flat, totally understandable.
So what we did was built our own off-campus housing page on cbu.ca and have an off-campus housing coordinator. And so we work with various landlords to post the availabilities. There are over 200 beds currently listed. Of course, given the size of Sydney, not everyone can live downtown Sydney. We have a lot more students, especially first live expanding to Glace Bay, New Waterford, North Sydney, which is great. And it's just about working with the community to make sure that those who have beds list them.
If anyone listening would like to help find housing for international students, Victor says you should go check out CBU's off-campus housing page.
They would get in touch with their off-campus housing coordinator, or they can go right to the page, and there is an opportunity for them to upload their listing there. We would prefer if they have a phone number and email address, especially because a lot of students are living in very different time zones and phone calls at all hours. if the landlords are up for that, that's cool. But and photos of the place as well. And so it's pretty simple upload, not too dissimilar from other platforms like Kijiji or whatever.
Another issue facing international students when they first arrive is getting around town to get to classes, jobs, or even just to explore the area.
At that time, it was like very, very challenging for us to find new places here because we don't have any transportation and the public transportations were not really good, so that we can move around here to Lewisburg, to some lakes, some beaches, nothing else. So I did my whole exploration on my own. I went to Cabot Trail, I went to Lewisburg and some Egypt Falls. I went over there and really enjoyed.
Again, CBU stepped up to solve the problem, working with the municipality to improve transit service.
Yeah, it's like working in partnership with the municipality under the direction of our Vice President Academic Gordon McGinnis and Student Affairs Director John Majic, meet with the transit regularly. It's basically investing to meet the demand that is there already. You know, this partnership has been very productive. The routes have increased dramatically, you know, from every hour to half hour direct from CBU. It's just like with this precipitous growth in our population, then of course we need the matching or equal growth in our public services. So I think that's just a great story of cooperation between the university and the municipality there.
Another thing that CBU has done for international students is help them celebrate their traditional holidays. For example, every fall, the university hosts a celebration of Diwali, a five-day-long festival of lights that originated on the Indian subcontinent. This celebration meant a great deal to AJ.
My experience while a student was really good. My studies was really good. We enjoyed a lot in the university festivals. University did a great job for us. Like that they celebrated our Diwali festival. It was really, really great here. The CBU did for us that. And we're really surprised that CBU is doing this much for us. Then we turned that in our studies in double of that. Like all the students working really hard for the university, making the university pride. So we just want to pay off the university very well. Just whatever they did for us, for our culture, for our tradition. So overall, I had a really good experience here.
I would say any day you step into Cape Breton University, there will be an event. For example, just yesterday we had a summer camp, our third one of the summer, with our partner Chalo Canada, bringing students from Haryana in India, their middle school and high school students, to Cape Breton on an education and tourism camp. So these students would come. A recent cohort that was here in the Verschuren Center last night for the reception, there was about 70 students. So they would come. We would tour them through the university. They would also go to Fortress of Lewisburg, the Graham Bell Museum, Inganish Beach. They would have a session
with our different deans of our schools and learn about the academic program opportunities for them after they graduate high school. And then last night, we have a reception. President Dingwall spoke and welcomed them and thanked them for coming, as well as we got some local Indian food from Swagat, one of the newer restaurants, which coincidentally, of course, or not coincidentally, it was opened by a recent Cape Breton University international graduate, Ajay. So it's just great to see that that progress right in hand that we can then invest back into our students as they create their own businesses in the community. As well, Diwali was it's been building every year. I'm sure this year will be larger than last, even in the Canada Games Complex, the Festival of Lights, with entertainment, food. We work a lot with the students to plan that because, you know, I never experienced Diwali growing up. So we need to connect with our students who know this. Another great flagship celebration is Lunar New Year that celebrates many students from many countries that celebrate the Lunar New Year in February. This date floats a little bit. So we'll have student entertainment there as well and fireworks. And as well, if students want to plan their own kind of small celebrations, the Afro-Caribbean Night is an annual kind of event as well. That's all student planned, of course, with help from the university. But we have to rely on the students who know these celebrations more than we do. And it's a great way to invite the community to celebrate along with us. You know, I know Diwali was a great success last year, and just wait for another one this coming fall.
For their efforts, the university has gained far more than mere dollars. Many of the students become involved with campus life, giving back to the school with their service, sometimes in student government.
So Gunny or Pratik Brar is the president. Samuel Saji, vice president. They're both international students. We work very closely with them. It's great to be able to have a student representative so you can work professionally with them, but also be able to understand someone who lives, empathizes with the student experience of who they're representing as well. Gani is involved in a lot of high-level meetings and projects at CBU, so students are involved in every level of decision-making here because the students are why there's a university. They are our essence.
Yeah, I'm gonna die.
As we have seen, young people come from all over the world to pursue their education at Cape Breton University. They come for the intimate experience a smaller campus affords. They come for the small community that goes to great lengths to make them feel at home. Every student I spoke to couldn't say enough about Cape Breton's friendly, kind-hearted people. They fell in love with our island's rugged beauty and laid-back, relaxed lifestyle. But what happens when they graduate? Sadly, the majority of our international students will move on when they complete their studies. According to experts, only 11% of international students are still in the province where they graduated 1 year later. For us here in Cape Breton, that is a troubling statistic that we feel most acutely, especially given our decades-long population decline. The numbers don't tell the whole story, of course. Some, like A.J. Balyan, who was so disappointed in our quiet little community when he arrived, will stay. A.J. opened a restaurant just recently. Today, he serves fine Indian cuisine to all comers at Swagat, the real taste of India. He plans to stay and make Cape Breton his home.
No, for me, I really like it here. So, I really want to be here. But, I'm a traveler. I like to be traveled. So, I'll travel other places, but my settlement will gonna be in the Sydney itself. Because we have some big projects that we will gonna work in by the next year. So, I'm gonna stay here for them as well.
His family apparently approves of his choice.
My grandparents came here to the ceremony and they enjoyed it a lot. They liked it place because Cape Town is basically for the retired people. No, seriously, it's basically for the retired people to live, enjoy in a small town and all that. So my grandparents really enjoy here.
Veronica Chan plans to move to Toronto when she graduates, in part for more opportunities, and in part to be with family living there.
My plan is going to Toronto, and before I visit Cambridge, I have relatives in Toronto. So I stay there for a while, and I think that is so big, and I love the people, all the environment, and I would like to have a work in restaurant in Toronto.
Chris Ramprasad plans to take what he's learned at Cape Breton University back to Guyana and apply it to his home country.
I'm planning to go back home and invest in my country a little bit. Just came here for the education, basically, because Cape Breton University education is recognized.
And then there's the ones who haven't made that decision just yet. Neha Arora has come to think of Cape Breton as her home.
It's good. It's pretty good. I feel one of them, you know. As I told you before, they wave, they say hello, they ask you how are you, and they also bless you every time. And now when I'm out with my own people, I always feel cherished, and I say wave and hi to everyone. And sometimes new students ask me, do that guy know you? And I say, no, this is how we do here.
Cape Breton has also changed to better serve international students, too, something that Neha says she appreciates.
One other point was last year the Indian groceries, but now they are getting more groceries, and we have store and one new restaurant, Swagat.
Yeah.
And also Walmart is bringing a lot of Indian items now. Walmart Spa Road. We have in the frozen section, we have a lot of Indian stuff. But it was not there when I arrived, but this year they are improving. Like, I see improvement here, you know.
Will she stay? She doesn't know.
Well, I do want to stay. The point is here only lack of jobs, which make my decision more difficult to stay or not. But if it's not Cambridgeton, I may move to Halifax, which is still Nova Scotia, yeah? But if I get a good job here, I will definitely stay here. I will not move.
So you like it here enough that you do want
yes,
to stay?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
No tracks in the dust by the old front door. No voices ringing like they did before. They're fleeing the nest like eagles they soar. There's nobody home no more. Leaving for a life of travel and toil. Drilling for the dreams in the western soil. Survival, they say, is finding more oil. There's nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home. There'll be no rest till they hit the west. There's nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home. There'll be no rest till they hit the west. There's nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home. Another day over there slow to fly. The sun goes down and the dreams go by. That sun would be brighter in my eastern sky. Wish I was going home. But there ain't nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home. There'll be no rest till they hit the west. There's nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home. There'll be no rest till they hit the west. There's nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home. No tracks in the dust by the old front door. No voices ringing like they did before. They're fleeing the nest like eagles they soar. There's nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home. There'll be no rest till they hit the west. There's nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home. There'll be no rest till they hit the west. There's nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home. There'll be no rest till they hit the west. There's nobody home no more. There ain't nobody home. There ain't nobody home. There ain't nobody home. There ain't nobody home.
A special thanks to Chris Rampersad, Veronica Chan, Neha Arora, AJ Balyan, and Victor Tomacek for sharing their stories with me. On the next episode of The Story of Home, we'll meet some of the people who came to our shores in search of a safe place to call home.
Curating Cape Breton's Multicultural Mosaic, a dedication to diversity past and present, is a Coast 89.7 original production. We would like to thank the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Radio Meters program for its financial support of this series.